Hello and welcome back to Podatog, where we talk pods, pod togs, and do some other kind of things sometimes. Hello, I'm your host, Bugs Matrix, and with me is the always lovely
Jordan Black, also known as Dead Domain, also known as Bugs. Why isn't there a Dragatog?
Oh my god, she'd be so cunty.
She would be so cunty. So here's the thing. I've been getting way into, and I've been sending you some of the pictures of them lately, but I've been getting way into like hand-painted altars. And because there are actually some, like some of them very much outside, even for cards that I would like to have like a nice, cool, unique version of. It's like, I cannot pay $100 for a trading card, even a beautiful customized art piece of art. Like, I just can't. But through the miracle of eBay auctions, a lot of smaller creators who are trying to get their name out there have been putting out some really great stuff. And one of them recently that had me scratching my head was somebody did a beautiful full art altar of Chronatog.
Ooh, remind me of which one Chronatog is.
It's like the animated Atog artifact thing. I feel like it's a nothing card, but they were charging like $400 for it.
You know, I love that. I fucking love that. Like, I love Atogs.
Are there, like, no, it was it Chronatog or
was it, like, was it like Atogatog? Was it the one that eats other Atogs?
No, it wasn't even that one. I do have an Atogatog. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to derail it with a tog combo.
No. We're always togging. ABT, baby. No, like, I don't know, as soon as you started saying, like, full art full art altars and, like, full painted everything, my mind immediately went to, I desperately want, like, an OG Atog that's painted to look like the Lady Gremlin from Gremlins 2.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I think that would just vibe well. Oh my god. I don't know if you saw, I was posting on Blue Sky the other day about my brilliant idea for a Gremlins secret lair.
No, you didn't. Or you didn't tell me about it.
Oh my god. I think that I, like, struck gold by being like, yeah, so it's a full, like, similar to the recent SpongeBob situation. It would be so sick if it's, like, just a fully, like, universes within, like, just reskins, nothing mechanically unique, because I don't like that as a practice. I think that's bad, actually. But it would be, on one, like, on the front would be various characters in their Mogwai form, and on the back would be their Gremlin form.
That would be so cute.
And it would be like, kinda, you know, like the same creature, but
kind of like the baby dragons.
Yeah, that was actually a big point of inspo for it. And I'm like, okay, but what does Gizmo turn into? And then I'm like, oh, duh, you get Rambo Gizmo.
Get Rambo Gizmo. That's adorable.
Oh my god, I so desperately love Gremlins.
As well you should. Who doesn't love Gremlins?
Haters. Liars, yeah, cheats, haters. And fools.
Chief among God. The haters.
So how have you been?
You know, I've been doing we need to talk about, speaking of secret layers and mechanically unique cards, we need to talk about April Pool's Day, but we'll get to that in a second.
I've been
going through and listening to and reading old Magic books. I am about halfway through. I started with the kind of the Antiquities trilogy, so started with the Brothers War, then went to Planeswalker, and I am about halfway through Time Streams right now. And
hell yeah,
that sent me down a weird, like, fandom rabbit hole where I'm like, man, suddenly I like these characters, suddenly I have an attachment to, like, Ashnod and shit. And so,
oh my god,
I love Ashnod so fucking much.
She and Thanos are, oh my god, OTP,
so but like, that sent me down a rabbit hole of like, okay, I want to make a Ashna deck, because I get into, like, I make decks based on if I like a character. Rarely do I'm like, oh, you know what, I kind of want to build a deck for this, but I don't really have a character for it. Usually it starts character first and then I build a strategy. And so for the last kind of 2 weeks, I have been trying to make this junk ass, because I went in with such beautiful theming, and I have like a bunch of cards. Like I have an old Urza's Bauble, and I have a Mishra's Bauble, and I have a bunch of the schematic artifacts from like Brothers War. And so the thing with Ashnod is that she replicates sacrifice triggers, right? Like if you have to say, if an ability requires a sacrifice, you can copy that ability as long as it doesn't result in mana. So ironically, Ashnod's Altar
non-bows. You know,
which is kind of weird. No, and I'm like, I'm okay, on one hand it does suck. On the other hand, like 4 mana for like throwing away a fucking 1/1 zombie or something is insane. But
yeah, turn them all into mana vaults. Let's go.
Yeah. But the thing that does work is, are you familiar with, okay, and this is a big problem of mine, is that when I put together decks, I think about like, okay, wouldn't it be funny if I did this, rather than can I act like, is this a feasible strategy, and am I going to be like so insanely far behind curve that everybody is just stomping me and I'm like basically taking no board actions? And
I've definitely run into that.
Yeah, and that's kind of been my problem, because I've been, are you familiar with Mind Stabber Thrall?
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Funky little guy. I think there's multiple arts of him.
Run me through him.
So Mindstabber Thrall is just a 2/2 for 3, 2 black, 1 colorless, that when, oh god, it's so fucking stupid. I think it's from like Fallen Empires. When it attacks, if it is not blocked, you may sacrifice it and it will deal no damage, but if you sacrifice it, target opponent discards 3 cards. So,
oh, that's hot. Oh no.
With Ashnod's triggers, you can, for like 3 mana, if you manage to get it in, which I also have things like, I don't know, Filth and Rogue's Passage and a bunch of other stuff in there.
Oh yeah, just slap some Trailblazer's Boots on this little fucker.
Yep, and you can get in and be like, you know what, actually, I want you to discard 6. There were dumb other funny things. Necrite is another one of those kind of thralls that you can just, if you deal damage, you choose 1 creature to destroy. That, you know, hey, with Stryonic Resonator, if I can get in for 2 and she has Battle Mage's Bracers on, I'm sacrificing 1 creature to kill 4.
That's fun.
But it's so, the problem with playing Commander is that it is not like viable by the time everybody else is doing their
shit. You know what I'm hearing? Bracket 1, baby. Come on the Exhibitionist sometime. I would love to see this jank shit.
No, I have revitalized it. I have, not that I want it to, you know, I'm not like building a competitive deck, but I want it to be able to do the thing a little bit more.
All right.
And don't worry, like Necrite and Mindstabber Thrall are still in there. Like I'm not taking those.
Good.
They're sticking in there. The things good, that good, I good. I took out a lot of like other flavor stuff. Like I had Brain in a Jar and a lot of the like laboratory exploit zombies. Even though some of those are still good in like a sacrifice deck, like holy shit, because that also, like, what's the one? There's one scab that is 4 mana, and if you exploit a creature, it returns target instant or sorcery to your hand. But you can copy that trigger with Ashnod.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I love half a Snapcaster. Exactly. Like a quarter Snapcaster, but like, still, that's pretty dece. That's pretty fucking dece.
Yeah, so like that's kind of just been a lot of my experience lately has been in this weird like Brothers War-ish headspace. But also, The other big commander deck that I've been really trying to get going with is the new Sultai deck, which was the one I saved up a lot of credit. I took in a lot of cards to one of my local LGSs to get enough credit to be able to kind of do some stuff around Tarkir Dragonstorm. I ended up getting a bundle, a pre-release kit, one collector booster, and the Sultai deck.
Hell yeah. That's shockingly similar to my pickup, except my partner and I went in on a box together.
Yeah, like, and it's, hey, you know what? I will say this has been, thus far, pretty good. It's been all right.
I want to hear about this Sultai deck that I might talk about. I picked up the Mardu pre-con.
I want to say my biggest, because we'll talk about the rest of it. And I am bummed I wasn't able to afford going to a pre-release. I am bummed because I was actually really looking forward to it, but it's whatever. The one thing I will say is that I don't think I've had such a disappointing collector booster in a while.
Yeah.
Especially now that they're like upwards of $30. And I did get, because apparently, so I did not realize when they showed off all the cool lands, for example.
Yeah.
I was under the impression that, like, okay, it's going to be like every other land cycle where there are big ones, like the big hitters are the full arts that you can still unlock them in boosters, but they're going to be a little bit more rare. You'll probably get them more in collector boosters. The Dragonite lands are not only collector booster exclusive, but they're like, apparently, with word on the street, apparently there's only like four or three guaranteed per box plus one foil guaranteed.
Yep. No, these things are going to be such a bitch.
So fucking fine. So I ended up, I did the, oddly enough, the one pull I got from a collector booster was the red Dragonite land.
Hell yeah.
Which, like, it's a cool land. I have yet to pull any more. Like I said, I got the bundle, so I have the Shadow Art Dragon lands. Yet to pull any more from boosters. Like, I still don't understand, especially when there's two cycles like this. For the life of me, I do not understand why they are not doing what they did in Bloomborough and put one full art in every pack.
Yeah, but I mean, the Bloomborough ones had different rarities as well, depending on the seasons.
They did, but I would honestly rather see something like that again.
Yeah, no, it bites, because the Dragonite lands are so sick.
They look great in person. And, well, and the rest of my saltiness doesn't help that, like, the rest of the pack, for example, I got the same, my uncommon slots, two of them were the same dragon in the same treatment. One was foil, and it was like uncommon something, and like, it's, man, what are we doing here?
Yeah, no, I've actually heard that's fairly common based on like personal experience asking folks and like seeing unboxings, like, because there's only so many dragons in that treatment that, like, yeah, doubling up on it. Like, I mean, I will say, if it's the uncommon Mardu dragon, because that thing's so fucking fun and limited. I wouldn't be that mad, but you're also not using a collector booster for limited unless you're like made of money.
Yeah, and I'm not rolling like that. My my YouTube experience has not been that generous with me. But I did end up, so yeah, I did end up getting the Sultai one because zombie twinks. And yeah. So I have a weird experience with mill decks, which is what this is.
Yeah, where it's all self-mill, right?
Yeah, so it is a lot of self-mill and then bonuses for bringing stuff back. Like, that's kind of, I think, what sets the Sultai one apart, is that it is not just that you are able to easily bring stuff back, but like, both commanders give you goodies when stuff enters from graveyard, specifically from graveyard to battlefield. So it's kind of a, like, that's kind of where you want some of the stuff. And I've only played it twice because I've been really trying to get Ashnod up and running. And I'm going through it right now, and I put in a couple things. I put in Kura the Boundless Sky from Kamigawa. I put in Ymirith the Desert Doom from D&D. The one thing, so here's the thing. I'm big, if you couldn't tell, by the entire opening on an Ashnod deck that, like, by the way, I forgot to mention, I specifically went to an LGS and went through all of their lands to get cards from, like, Urza and Invasion Block for the lands. Like, that is how on flavor the Ashnod deck is. So, like, that's where I come from. So when you tell me, hey, Tarkir Dragonstorm, dragons, and also it's a zombie deck, and there are neither a lot of zombies nor a lot of dragons, I have to take matters into my own hands. Which is kind of, so the weird thing is, and I want to know if it's the same with your deck. Usually every deck, this might be the first commander deck I've opened that didn't have like a commander sphere.
Oh yeah. Mine didn't have a commander sphere. It had a Felwar Stone. I mean, I'm like low enough to the ground that I don't think I'd need it, but yeah, actually I think we're Signet, Sol Ring Signet, Felwar Stone, and Talismans are the main bits of Rock Ramp. Oh, and I guess like a Wayfarer's Bauble is kind of ramp if you squint.
And like in fairness, this deck doesn't really need it, especially with like slight alterations. It is milling, so there's a lot of like ramp. There's a lot of return this from, you know, this many lands from graveyard. I put AC and fucking Head Shredder in here. So like,
yeah,
there's some other good work being done there. This is the first though, because again, like when I was buying Duskmourn commander decks, I was in that phase of like, I'm just kind of stripping these for parts for other decks or for like a color that I want to build. And now I'm in a place where I'm trying to really maximize the potential of this deck. And I think so far the Sultai one, pretty good. It is really fun. It can kind of hang in that three bracket. Like if I get put down at a three, or if I end up getting potted up with a three at a store, if I have this deck, I won't be too terribly mad, because at least I can do like game actions and shit.
I've been optimizing the shit out of Zergo, and I'm causing problems on purpose.
So Zergo, that's the Mardu one, right?
Yeah, it is. Actually, before we pivot to Zergo, I do have a very funny card suggestion.
Okay, lay it on me.
Are you familiar with Giltleaf Archdruid? It's an elf from
Morning Tide.
Sounds like
a black elf.
No, it's 3/2 green. And here, I'm just going to read the whole thing. So, and I only recommend this because when things leave your yard, you make zombie druids, right?
Yeah, sure do.
Okay. So, this is maybe one of the funniest Druids Matter cards of all time. She's got two lines of text. Whenever you play a druid spell, you may draw a card. Cool. And also, tap 7 untapped druids you control. Gain control of all lands target player controls.
Oh! Oh, man.
Dude, that's sick.
If I put that in here with, like, because I have my Parallel Lives and my Doubling Season
and
my Zombie, that would be fucking vile.
Yeah. I got one of these like a year ago in the big pile of bulk that my friend gave me, and like I found this in there, and I'm like, I read it and I'm like, this is heinous and asinine. I Google it and I'm like, oh yeah, it's worth like $2, because it's like, you really got to be like forcing, like, nothing has made druid tokens before, at least not like this efficiently.
Yeah.
And so it's like all of a sudden, oh, this is like that good secret tech.
That's fucking, oh, that's so,
yeah,
that is, hey, you know what, as somebody who's been having to, because every time I put out like Necrite and Mindstab Thrall, speaking of which, and I have to flip the card across to the other table because they're like, when the fuck was this printed, why is 1994, yeah. what are you telling me to discard six cards for? No, I get it, I feel it.
Yeah, like it's I'm not gonna say, just because I don't know our whole like demographics, like listener base, I'm not gonna call 2008 boomer magic, but you know, it's anywho, I just, there is, you might like this guy
from the set that brought us Marlin the Morn Song. I've told you about my games with Marlin, where I fucking,
I love Marlin.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Card and a half.
That's a, oh my, it's,
they have to reprint
fucked up set
Lorwyn, right? Yeah.
Oh my god! Like,
in a good way.
I'm so stoked to go back to Lorwyn, but currently we're on Tarkir, and yes. I am living, laughing, and loving. But yeah, so with this Zergo deck, or like with Tarkir writ large, like I'm so glad that when I saw the mechanic mobilize, I'm like, oh, I hope this is as cracked as I think it's going to be. And yeah, you can play a pretty suboptimal Mardu deck if you have enough mobilize triggers and be kind of a threat in limited. But and so mobilize, for those of y'all who haven't seen it, has so it's mobilize X. Whenever this creature attacks, create X tapped and attacking 1/1 red warrior creature tokens. Sacrifice them at the beginning of your next end step. So usually it's like mobilize 1, mobilize 2. There's this fucking great ox that is a 0/4 with vigilance and mobilize 3. And so I picked up the Zergo Storm Render because I'm like, I want to do mobilize shit. And it, like, it cares about creature tokens, it cares about, like, things dying, and I'm like, what if we just, made that so much worse? And by worse, I mean so much funnier. Because I think the deck needs, like, you know, an Impact Tremors, a Pitiless Plunderer,
ugh,
a Mondrak. I mean,
no, oh, okay, no, yeah, you told me about this, yeah. Have you managed to crack that new Elspeth, speaking of heinous tokens?
Not yet, but we still have, when we bought the box, we set aside 12 packs to do another sealed, so maybe there's one in there. There could be an Elspeth in the little pile of packs I just tapped.
I mean, there is, so yeah. I wanted to talk about, because I've looked through, you know, I have a lot of now I have familiarity with this kind of deck, and there is, I was looking at some of the deck lists, because the Mardu one was the other one I was looking at. There's Gix in there, right?
There is. I actually took him out to put him in Rhea.
I mean, like, fair, but it's like Gix is like a $10 or $11 card or some shit.
It's come down a little bit, but yeah, Gix. No, the reprints in this are fucking awesome.
Like there's a lot of. Lamp. I feel like they've really been trying to do a lot of value.
Yeah, no, this thing, I'm honestly, I think this is a really well constructed precon. I literally just sleeved it up like as we were getting set up to talk, so I have not had a chance to run it. But like, I mean, it's only got 15 basic lands. And all the new cards are really fun, and like it's got an Adeline Resplendent Cathar. That's a fun card.
Oh yeah, it is.
It's got a Hero of Bladehold. Like, of course, I'm going to get the deck that has a Hero of Bladehold.
Hell yeah! No, yeah, I yeah. That's the other one that's out everywhere. I think the one that I keep seeing that is clogging up shelves right now is the Jeskai one.
Yeah, that's been, like, because it's, I mean, like, I like second spell matters stuff, but of all of them, that was the one that I'm like, I don't know, it didn't speak to me. Like, I mean, the teamer one looked super fun.
Yeah, the teamer one looks really fun.
The Abzan one that cares about big butts is fucked up, and it's not hard to modify to make it even more fucked up. God, a siege rhino. Did they put a siege rhino in that? They should have put a siege rhino in that. Just, you know, for nostalgia.
For nostalgia. But apparently, I think it might be in the special guest slot, but apparently you can pull a Japanese siege rhino from fucking the collector packs.
Is it a siege rhino or is it the skirmish rhino?
It might be skirmish rhino.
I think it's his baby brother. But I mean, yeah. Skirmish rhino is still sick as hell. Like, my god, I have so thoroughly enjoyed this set. Like, this is probably the most capital M, capital G Magic the Gathering set we're going to get this year. For better and worse.
So I haven't seen people like this excited, or at least at my LGS, to the point of, because you can kind of tell, like, going in, different stores are going to be different, but like, you can kind of tell how excited or how well a set is doing just by how much shit is still on the shelves, week after a pre-release. For example, Aether Drift, they still have, I want to say, like, at least 10 booster boxes just kind of sitting there.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And it's just like that bright ass Aether Drift box art. They are already like, they are out of collector boosters. They have, like, last time I was in a couple days ago, they only had three or two of the Jeskai commander decks left. Like, they were tearing through stuff. I feel like I haven't seen that since Bloomburrow, maybe.
Yeah, I think that would be. Yeah, I think that even more so than like Duskborn. I think that everyone loved the cute little bunny set as well. They should, but it's been like the pre-release that I went to was packed. And I mean, granted, like the pre-releases that I've gone to as of late haven't been for the most hyped sets. Like, you know, I'm not surprised that everyone was like, yeah, we're going back to Tarkir, let's fucking go. But like, just the energy there, like everyone just seemed so excited and positive and stoked. And like, I love that they did the thing where my shop had it set up so that when you came in, if you got there early enough, you could pick, different tables would have different clans affiliated with them. So it's like, if you want to sit at this table, you're guaranteed to get a Mardu box, or, you know, this one's the Abzan table, et cetera, et cetera. And so, like,
I love that.
That made it, like, I mean, like, Vi and I were discussing, like, the pros and cons to, like, you know, it's also kind of fun to just be, like, randomly assigned a clan, and then just having to, like, figure it out. But, oh my god. Like, it Mobilize. Mobilize is, like, they keyworded the Hero of Bladehold thing. Like, of course
it feels like the most, and again, we've talked about this since Bloomburrow, but it feels like the most magic-ass magic set, and that's why people are excited. Like, I have some friends who I was trying to get in to, like, just, you know, play some, because I'm like, oh yeah, I opened some packs, I was hanging out with them, and they're like, yeah, they've been really honestly super burnt out on magic lately, partially because they just see all of the fucking universes beyond, all of the secret lair drops, all of the rest of what is, and we'll talk about, like I said, we'll talk about Deadpool in a minute here.
Yeah.
And I can't really blame them from that perspective, because I'm like, okay, look at the rest of the fucking year. Like, we have Tarkir, and then we're going to have Final Fantasy, which is going to sell insane.
That's
like,
yeah.
I cannot even imagine. But then we have Spider-Man and Avatar. And here's my thing, right?
We have the
Edge of Eternity.
We do have Age of, thank you. We do have that at least. But even then, and we can get into that.
Yeah. And, well, and so I have thoughts on Edge of Eternities that I'm hoping for, even though I'm in my heart of hearts, I know it probably, we'll get there in a second. But the thing is that, so we know that cycles and sets are planned like 2+ years in advance, right?
Yeah.
So whatever feedback is coming from Aetherdrift, Duskmourne, all the way through to last year, pretty much everything post March of the Machine, we are probably not going to see the results of that pivot. Like, for example, the reaction to murders at Karlov Manor, we're probably not going to see the actual, like, okay, let's not do that, an actual corrective step until whatever gets announced for 2026. And likewise, yeah. I think the planning of, okay, we're going to try Universes Beyond and do half and half. We're also probably not going to see any corrective course on that if it goes well, if it doesn't do well, until 2026, 2027. But what I really think, and that kind of sucks, but what I really think and what I really feel is that if you keep having these set, like it is a classic act with your dollar thing, where if you keep having these sets that people are, because the lifeblood of Magic is not, as much as we love LGSs, it's not LGSs, it's the people who show up to buy the product. It is the people who show up and have these relationships with the people behind the counters, who know each other by name, who see each other multiple times a week, who all come together and love this goofy ass world and all of these planes, regardless of how many, you know, SpongeBob cards they put in there. And if those people, the people who are now flooding, and like I went in and they were like, yeah, we're out of pre-release kits. Like, we don't have any because we, like, A, we sold through
because we,
and like all of our extra we sold through.
Which,
and, like, if that shit keeps up for these sets and not for Aetherdrift, for example, like that is that's the kind of shit that brands do pivot on and that they are forced to listen to.
Yeah. And I like, and I say this as someone who like enjoyed Aetherdrift.
Yeah.
I get it. Like I get it. And I like,
I think it was a bigger swing than people realized. Like I feel like people, and it was something I didn't really expect either, because I went into Aetherdrift being like, okay, you know what? Cowboys, murder detectives, like, but there was, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was all of the robots. Maybe it was like the Hot Wheels world race ass, like tracks. Like, there was just something about it that was just like, this is like, yeah, this isn't magic, you know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
it's this
but
weird,
like,
quality to it.
It like, it feels like it was supposed to be an unset almost.
Yeah.
And if that, if that were the case, I think it would have been more well received.
Yeah, probably.
And like, I mean, I do. Mechanically, I found the limited, format to be really, I found that to be really fun. Like, I really enjoyed, the start your engines and, like, speed mechanic, as well as, like, exhaust was cool, and just, like, being kind of, not quite, like, forced, but, strongly encouraged to play, like, a vehicle-centric deck was, like, a fun brewing experience. But
I've enjoyed, like, I've made 2 commander decks that are kind of Aetherdrift themed with like cars and everything, and I've enjoyed making those. Like, I think there is stuff in there that I do really like, but I think by and large there is an aesthetic sensibility to Magic and also the people who play it that I hope Wizards are starting to realize.
It only
bends so far.
Yeah, because like, what was the last set of 2023? So going into Murders, the last thing before
it was
like
March of the
Ixalan.
No, it was it was Ixalan.
It was Ixalan going into that, and so like, and like Ixalan's a, I would say like a fairly popular plane. If anything, it's got like the Dino factor, but like. Oh my gosh. I don't know. Even then, like, that had kind of the stink of the Jurassic Park cards, which, like, are fun, but also, like, like, I think what I'm trying to say is, like, 2024 was a very weird year for Magic, and 2025 is also going to be kind of a weird year for Magic in a very different way.
Yeah, weird in a way that feels more like a breaking point, I think, for a lot of people. Because, like I said, I yeah. have friends who are like, when people are talking about, hey, did you see the Deadpool secret lair? Did you see this, that, and the other? There is just this kind of air of apathy about, like, from half of the group. Like, people are just like, yeah, I saw it. I'm good.
Yep. I had friends that are, like, very heavily invested in the game and have been, like, playing for, like, over, like, a decade. Honestly, some, like, literal decades. That when it was announced that we're going 50-50 universes beyond, universes within, sets that are also going to be, like, standard legal every year, they're like, I'm out. I'm not doing that. You can't make me have to care if I want to, like, pay attention to anything that's not Commander. Like, because I feel like that, like, the universes beyond of it all, at least in my opinion and in my experience, is much easier to stomach at a Commander table than it is in any sort of competitive 60 card scene.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, just because, you know, at Commander, you can ignore any of the Universes Beyond cards and not include them in your decks. You can, you know, you can't stop anyone from playing what they're going to want to do, but, like, at the worst, you're going to suffer through someone's SpongeBob the Unifier deck. Like, that like,
yeah, God.
Like,
yeah.
Live a little, have fun, it's fine. Like, it'll be over in an hour. Like, target them unnecessarily. I don't know. I'm not your mom. But, like, yeah, I mean, even the only competitive formats that I, like, even really play or pay attention to are, like, Standard and Pauper. And yeah. I'm like, oh, God, I'm worried that, like, I'm, you know what, I'm curious what the scene is going to look and feel like. Just because on the flip side, we have the very on theme Magic, like, Modern Horizons series of cards that always fuck up Eternal formats and probably should stop. I love that so much comp is MH3 block constructed. It's great. I mean, I say this is like, I love my little Rakdos Affinity Pauper deck, even after the bans, which, but,
you don't like having, like, oh, hey, here's Psychic Frog. Here's all of the, like, the medallions.
It's, you know, much ado about nothing. Like, I'm not happy with Universes Beyond or certain, like, overtuned, like, Fire Design 2024, 2025 Universes Within cards either. Like, please don't let me feel like I'm being handed the type of deck that I should be playing. Like, oh my God. Did you see that they banned Psychic Frog in Legacy?
Yeah, I did see that.
Like, thank God.
He's just, I a think little, all look of, at him. How can you be mad at him? Look at him.
I think a lot of the Modern Horizon designs are really cool, .. for cube.
In isolation.
I think they're great cube cards. Like, oh my God, yeah. Draft one, like, one person gets to draft a Psychic Frog. Hell yeah. And you get one Psychic Frog. Like, oh my gosh, I don't know. Like, this is also just, like, such a tangent, but, like, I just, I don't know. Like, it's, the game feels like it's in a really interesting state, and I'm curious how much of that is due to WotC and how much of that is due to pressure from Hasbro, given the money that Magic brings in.
I'm willing to bet it's a lot of Hasbro. Magic has been one of the, like, kind of vaguely upticking and or stable earners, like, especially after, from what I understand, from what I've read, after, you know, there was a huge influx of new players into just the hobby space in general, from D&D to Magic to just collectible figures and stuff during the economic downturn. Everybody was staying home during the pandemic. And that has not only leveled off, it's started to go down because we are, you know, look outside, look at the stock market. We're very entering a place. It's not looking great out there. But
yeah.
the knock-on effect that has had is that, you know, you have companies who are looking at all these graphs and are going, okay, well, how do we because capitalism, and we cannot live in a state where somebody is like, okay, well, it's the line's going to go down for a little bit, then it's going to go back up. They have to be like, okay, well, no, we were doing really good back here. We need to be doing just as good and better now. And
yeah, not just line go up, but line go all the way up.
Exactly. And that's like going to be the thing, because guess what? As we've seen with just like even the last three sets, like if you include Innistrad Remastered this year, like the variance of interest between Innistrad, Innistrad, Aetherdrift, and Tarkir are like it's a big old spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and I mean, I certainly enjoyed Innistrad Remastered. Like, I mean, I will always take an excuse to jam some of that, but
I did too. It's just like, and I opened a lot of it, like, and I loved it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like, but yeah, it's just like, I don't like, I'll probably pre-release the Universes Beyond stuff this year. I'm curious about how Edge of Eternity is gonna go story-wise. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's hits similar for me, like Aetherdrift did, where the story was what made me kind of care about the cards.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and I mean, especially the way that Tarkir's story ended, I am deeply curious to see where we're going with this. But yeah, like, it's just so.
So on the subject of Edge of Eternities, that's what it is, plural. So did you ever read the like the 90s books at all?
I haven't. I'm, you know, aware of some of the stories in a very like cliff notesy way, but if you got something for me.
So in, I can't remember if it's the second one. Like, okay, first off, if anybody hasn't read the books, go read them. They are, like, especially the ones which I believe starts with the Antiquities block are the ones that are like, hey, these are actually canon. We care about, like, creating a story now. And, like, the story, first off, the Brothers War book is basically the entire outline for the set, which is wild, like how closely the set stuck to the book from like 20 years ago. Secondly, the main character, so Zancha, a character that I have seen played at tables and people is always the fun, like, oh, hey, Zancha is trans, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that, like, her first card, because she's been featured on card art in the 90s, but her first card was in like 2017 or something, when she was essentially the main character of the second Urza book. And is like incredible trans rep and just a great Phyrexian character, and like, holy, like, man, what a, yeah, worth reading honestly for the Zancha stuff alone. The third book and the second book a little bit, but the third book, Urza goes and planes, well, actually, never mind, it's mostly in the second one. Urza goes and planeswalks and is like learning what a planeswalker is, because after his battle with Mishra, his spark basically ignites and suddenly he has the power to be like one with the multiverse and phase between all these realms and has no idea what he's doing. But he
Urza having no idea what he's doing? Who's
gosh, fucking shocker. When you look at it's weird how much of a heroic character he kind of is, like, or is depicted of in card art, when essentially he's like a wizard Walter White.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, he's just, like, constantly fucking shit up by his, like, if not stubbornness, then just, like, unwillingness to back down or listen to others, and is always like, okay, you know what? Actually, I'm going to fix things by fucking them up even more. Great character, phenomenally well written. But the thing is that when he discovers his like planeswalker abilities, the book describes that there's this like whole chapter where he talks about going to this place called, I believe, the Blind Eternities.
Yeah.
And it is essentially the space
between spaces.
Yeah, like these edges of existence where there's kind of everything and or nothing and unknowable eons of past in between these pockets of reality and like all this, you know, like very kind of celestial.
It's like, yeah, like celestial outer space is kind of how I have like understood it.
It reminds me a little bit of like Jack Kirby style, like the 70s cosmic Marvel shit, where it's just like, it's just kind of fucking weird. And it taps into this bizarre, like pulpy vision before everybody had a, all right, so this isn't gonna exactly tie in, but walk with me here. Ties into this kind of like pulp sci-fi vision of before everybody had a very regimented idea of what space and space travel and then therefore science fiction should look like. So I went to see a movie. I was actually talking to Mia Moore about this recently. And I went to see this movie called Ash. It's fine. It's not great. It's a Shudder original. It was playing in a theater. Incredible soundtrack. Ben really digging the soundtrack. But it's one of those movies that, and stop me if you've heard this premise before, but a crew of people are stranded in a high pressure horror situation on an alien planet and things go awry. Mm. And it's one of those things where like watching it, and it's not outside of that basic premise, it's not really that similar to Alien. In fact, it's a little bit more similar to Dead Space. But it makes you realize that there's only so much you can do with a premise now without it having to like just through force pay homage to something like Alien, like even Dead Space.
Yeah.
Where everybody's like, oh, it's Alien meets the Thing. And
yeah,
I feel like the idea of kind of eschewing that and not being like, I would love it. I would so love it if Edge of Eternities was tying into those ideas that are, they're like still, you know, present in the lore and stuff, but haven't really been touched, and taking that same kind of like very pulpy lens. I think I told you that there was like somebody was speculating that, like, you know, I think it would be really cool if they did like, if all the Edge of Eternity stuff looked like the Frank Frazetta art, where it was like, you know, here are these big muscle bound like barbarians and shit, like heavy metal album covers where it's like, is this sci-fi? There's a dragon and a laser gun. Like, I don't know, but it's like kind of fucking cool. And that's what I really want. And what I think we're going to get is, hey, y'all know Mass Effect?
I mean, it seems like, or at least I'm hoping we're going to skew more towards 70s shit. Like, very like Dune-esque sci-fi would be pretty decent. But
yeah, I think I would take that too. What if they do Dune like special guest cards?
I would be pretty into that. Like, I'll allow it. But no, yeah, like
a Duncan Idaho Serac card or something.
That would actually be really hot. They should do that. Wizards, if you're listening, stop the presses. Start the
They're
presses.
They're always listening. The presses.
I'm just talking to losers.
We could be the ones that start leaking those fucking... okay, so I had... So really quick, I do want to talk briefly about some of the Final Fantasy set was leaked in Brazil, I believe.
Yeah, and it's like a chunk of it accidentally got shipped.
Yeah, it was like... I think it was a chunk of a commander deck or something, but it was like, okay, here are all the cards, and they're all in Spanish. And I realized how incredibly Magic-brained I am with that. Like, I have not studied Spanish since high school, but yeah, just through like cognates and words that I'm like, okay, move this, you know, like, okay, this is probably graveyard, this is probably hand, these are counters, I was still able to be like, just look at a card and it was like decoding the Matrix, where it was like, oh no, so it's, yeah, you move it from this to hand and you put a 1/1 counter here, you can tap it for that, and I'm like, oh my god,
return this to that.
Yeah, like these cards I've never seen before, and it was just a moment of realization, a dark moment of realization for me.
That's a big mood. Oh my god. Yeah, like I don't know. I feel like we're going to get something closer to what you were describing than like just astronaut shit based on the way Tarkir wrapped up and like Jace melding with a plane effectively, like, cool, all right, that is high fantasy weird shit enough for me to like, fingers crossed. Like,
do you think Jace is gonna be like a galaxy card, like if Jace can just keep what if, okay, so if
like in Tarkir, Jace becomes Galactus.
Yeah, like Jace Actus. In Tarkir, in Dragonstorm, does Nico Bolas come back?
Yeah. Well, okay. he's been back. He wasn't dead. They just locked him in this like prison realm type situation that and Ugin had been there kind of like keeping guard, and like the lack of Ugin's presence was like what was allowing all of the titular dragon storms to be like running rampant, not only in Tarkir but like kind of in the multiverse or at large. Like, there was a big dragon attack at the end of Aetherdrift to kind of kick things off, but yeah, so Jace uses loot to like basically break into the plane where Bolas has been held captive since the end of War of the Spark. And hilarity ensues. Jace steals like this big like crystal thingy from Ugin and uses it to like astral project himself into becoming the plane. And in doing so, frees Bolas. Kind of by accident.
So do you think, because here is, if I'm looking at all these pieces here,
yeah,
Duskmourn probably coming back in some way just because Winter was in Aetherdrift. Mm-hmm. Like, Vaugavoth still wants out somewhere. Nico Bolas, still out there. Phyrexia, still out there. The Phyrexia's...
only kind of still out there. They're in the weird phased out thing. Like, that's
the thing, is that they were switched places with, what was it, Mirrodin or whatever.
So they'd taken over Mirrodin. I forget exactly what Teferi did to zoot them into no man's land, but they like he basically like sealed them in a big lead box in the Blind Eternities.
But like, you know, through they are not destroyed in a way that cannot be brought back. Like it through magic shed.
Yeah, there's the hanging glistening oil question, but yeah, as far as I can tell, there is a possibility.
And then you have the Eldrazi that was locked. What was locked in the moon?
Yeah, Emmy's in the moon, and so the fun thing about the Eldrazi is the forms that we see them take are kind of like just like tendrils of some larger corrosive entity. So, like, you know, Emrakul's just, like, the thumb of this thing that kind of exists. Kind of in the Blind Eternities, kind of in this, like, space between spaces. So, yeah, like, we could be seeing some spaghetti monsters.
I just, like, I feel like they are leading to a, like, bad guy off at some point.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, where, like, I'm like, kind of...
What if Nico Bolas gets completed, or what if Val'Gavoth fucking starts working with the Eldrazi or some shit?
Like, I don't... What's fun about Bolas right now is he was mind-wiped before being sent to this, like, prison, right? And so... he's still this, like, dastardly dude, but he has no idea who he is or what he's doing. He just knows he likes being evil. And I'm very curious to see where that goes.
Do we want to talk about, really quick, kind of the whole Deadpool thing?
Yeah.
What? Oh, you sound very... I think I... what did I send you? I texted you when it came up, and I was like... I don't even remember what I said now.
Let me... That was on the first... On a scale of 1 to Chimichanga, how are we feeling about Deadpool?
Great. Yep, that sounds like something I would say.
Yeah, and I think I was a little more favorable than like giving it about a week to sit. I'm like, man, can we cool it with the
mechanically unique?
Mechanically unique, not print to order. Like, mechanically unique, limited stock universes beyond secret layers, because I think this is just really, I mean, like, no one really wins, because either, you know, there's a handful of people who get like whatever short run printing of this and we never see this text again on a card, except maybe if they do some sort of universes within version of that, or they reprint that these secret layers into a main set, and then all of a sudden people who like might have spent a lot of money on these cards in the secondary market, like it feels like it's creating this like pseudo reserve list almost.
It like it really does, because all you can really do is cross your fingers and hope that like, okay, Deadpool will get a different printing or a different art or something in like Spider-Man. You know, or
yeah,
or
but like
special guest.
Yeah, but like with this rules text, like is that, because I mean, like I think the card as it's designed, like I think it's really funny. I think that this is like a very interesting commander card.
So I was talking to somebody about this, and I'm like, it makes me kind of mad that it was given to Deadpool, because it is something that is a really interesting mechanic, but it would be so much better suited to somebody who was like a shapeshifter.
Yeah, I mean, and... like I think the goal here was like, oh, he's crashing, like he's doing cameos. He's popping up all over the place. He's like,
yeah.
Stitch, if Stitch swore. But yeah, no, like it's.
How do you feel about the rest of the cards? Because I ended up getting it. I have not received it yet. But two things I want to talk about that pissed me off here. Well, we already kind of talked about it. I feel like the ability of this as a commander is much more suited to like Grixis.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, yeah, but it's, you know, his suit is red and black. And I'm like, yeah, I guess, but I really hope that doesn't become like the thing that they're doing all the cards.
I mean, like Black Panther was Selesnya. But yeah,
that's true.
Like I don't know this. He should be Grixis.
He should really be like Grixis. I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh, okay. What if I had like I could put in Shifting Grift and I could put in all these cards that are like trade this with your enemies and do this, and I'm like, actually, you can't because the color identity isn't blue. So
yeah, it's not conducive to that. Yeah. Which, I mean, Deadpool in the 99 is kind of a funny trick to play on God.
I fuck with that. I do. So like I think the one thing I don't necessarily have a problem with here is that there is value. Like,
yeah,
the cards themselves, I wish every secret lair had this much fucking value.
Right? Because isn't it like it's Deadly Rollick, it's Vandal Blast, it's Deadpool, it's whatever the special guest or secret card is, and then what are the other two cards? It's the Blasphemous Act and Saw in Half. Yeah,
that's what it was. Yeah. And it's like every one of those cards is like something that is at least a little useful, or B, a couple bucks.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
Deadly
Rollick's
like more than a couple bucks.
Yeah, no, Deadly Rollick is like, I saw that and I was like, you know what? Deadly Rollick plus in a variant version, like that's honestly pays for most of the thing to have a copy of it.
I think that pays, like that. I believe that pays for it. I haven't checked the price of Deadly Rollick in a second, but
yeah, it's like $35-$40 card. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it's up there. And so like, I appreciate that kind of value, and I wish they had more. Cause I look at some of the other secret layers they've had recently. Like, I don't think we talked about it last time, but the fucking Class of 89 one.
Oh, those were horrendous.
Those are rough. And I as the certified vampire enjoyer, I don't hate the Anya Falconwrath one, but like,
yeah,
10-cent fucking card.
Yeah, like it's I would be so curious to like really, really get into the minutia of like the process of like card selection and stuff. Like, I don't know if it's if the artists are given a like sample, like here's a pile of cards that we'd like you to do a take on, like pick a handful. It should also be pick at least five. And if they don't have enough time to do five, yes, they do, Wizards. Maybe we don't need to have this many secret layers.
I did on that subject. I think somebody was onto this. I saw somebody on Reddit saying that like this was probably meant to drop around Duskmourn.
Yeah, that would make a lot more sense.
Because also I think it's one of the only secret layers this year that has a copyright of 2024.
Oh. Then yeah.
Right?
I hadn't noticed that. Like that's
That's pretty compelling, I feel.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, sorry, what you were saying.
No, it's just broadly speaking, I'm very frustrated with the concept of like where secret layers are right now, just because like they could be really cool, they could be really normal, they could be really exciting, but it's like this just inundated with so many goofy variants that like the card selection is so hit and miss. And like, sometimes I understand the argument that like, oh, but if you like the artist, or if you like the art, or if you like the theme, you know, whatever, like the, you know, it's, this is a luxury hobby anyway, like it's, you know, and you don't have to buy it if you don't want to and all that. But like, at the same time, if you can't come up with five cards that pair together with some theme that don't add up to at least the base value of what you're paying for the secret lair, like, I'm not saying they should be like investments, but like, I mean, like we were talking about earlier with like the commander decks, it's like you spend $50 on a pre-constructed deck, and in reprints, you're getting at least that, if not probably several times more than that. Like, this isn't... It's not rocket science here. Like, this is entirely doable.
Yeah, one of the things I forgot to mention is that, like, there are some fucking heavy hits in the Sultai deck, like the Obnixilus the Fallen and Lord of Extinction, and like things that I'm like, damn, I haven't seen these before. These are like all fucking right. Or I haven't seen them in a commander deck before. And I'm like, this is, they're doing good work. And the original cards are good. It like, it's, that is what like, it, I want more of.
Like, and it, this is just like, I don't know, it feels proof positive that like Wizards is capable of releasing a product like this, that like, it's, I don't understand like what the marketing tactic is here
in not doing that with, because like I imagine they have to have, because I see sometimes Secret Lairs will stay on that site for months and I'm like,
yeah
it's because, you know, like sometimes I'm sure it's because they don't have big Ghostbusters fans, but it's also because all the cards are like, oh, here's a Ghostbusters version of Unlicensed Hearse, which is like an okay card, but it's not,
but like,
you know.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I'm not, who's running Unlicensed Hearse and is also a Ghostbusters fan, you know?
Yeah, it's that kind of shit. It's like, if I feel like going on these, because it was like straight up Deadly Rollick is the reason I got that, the Secret Lair. I'm waiting for it, is that like, that's not a card I'm going to buy, but if I can have one so I can run my proxies, like, that's fine.
Yeah, no, or like, the like Extra Life, like charity Secret Lair that they did that had a Fierce Guardianship in it. It's like,
and Mana Drain, like good and shit.
Like, yeah, those are extremely playable cards.
Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's just, I don't know. I don't get it. I wish that there was, like, and just coupling all of this frustration with the limited print run. Like, I would be, you know, because, like, if I had a little bit more time to hem and haw over, like, okay, well, I think it's pretty neat. The reprints are only $20 worth of cards, but I like them, and I know where I'd use most of them.
Yeah,
or let me sit on it for like
artist, or I love the the theme. Yeah, no, I like, do that all the time.
Let me sit on it for a week, not do the FOMO thing, and then you know what? All right, I'll take a 10-point hit just to, because I really like that giant Ediphage, you know.
Yeah.
Or just, like, just, you know, some card that, like, yeah, this is not, like, a valuable reprint, but also I don't treat my cards like an investment portfolio, so, like,
But you, at the same time, you also don't want to spend $30 on less than a dollar worth of cards.
Are you talking about the Lord of the Rings Secret Lair from a couple of years ago?
I mean, it could be that, too. Like, I was going back to the Class of 89 one, but, like, yeah, that Lord of the Rings one is
that was pretty fucking rough. Yeah, no, like, it's just, I can justify paying a little bit over market value for unique art, definitely. I'm curious what the breakdown is for, like, artist compensation on these, like, if they're just given, like, I presume, given that they're doing a limited print run, it's like a flat rate.
I imagine it'd be like more like a commission, and depending on the artist too. Like, I'm willing to bet Peach Momoko probably gets a higher, like, rate or something.
Probably. I don't know. The whole thing is just a little bit too goofy. Like, I don't buy Secret Lairs. I sometimes pick up singles from Secret Lairs.
Yeah,
but there hasn't been anything.
The eternal cry is buy singles. Like, that's what you do.
Yeah. And, or I think that it's also worth it. If you want to strip a commander deck for parts, go for it. Or if you like, you want to use a commander deck as an inroad to some degree of pre-constructed archetype, that's a great starting place. Like, in many ways, I feel like buying a commander deck is like buying singles. But yeah, like, if you're, I don't know, it's just I find the whole like current strategy of secret lairs to be really confusing.
So the other thing I wanted to talk about on that note is the extra cards, particularly with Deadpool one. Have you seen these?
I haven't, but I'm just thinking of the Miku extra cards and like the Snapcaster Miku of it all.
So one of them, as far as I know, and these are just from the ones I haven't opened mine yet, but these are just from the ones that I've seen. One of them is, what's the red card? It was reprinted in Foundations, and it's,
I'm spacing on it. It's the one with the cat in the art.
Yeah, it's the one with the little baby cat. Yep. But it's
Harmless Offering?
Yes, Harmless Offering. That's what it is. Harmless Offering, but it has everybody's favorite shark, Jeff, on it.
Sure.
Yeah, which I'm like, okay, yeah, I love that guy. All right, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
The other
and
one.
Harmless Offering is a very fun commander card. Like, sure.
Yeah, like that is especially with Deadpool, especially with that commander. Yeah. Like, that's really weird, chaotic board state thing. Goes well with the rest of it. Let's do it. Perfect. The other one is, Bugs, are you familiar with Blacker Lotus?
Are you fucking for real?
I'm so for real right now. That's exactly the other fucking card. It's a Blacker Lotus that, like, the art treatment is that, like, Deadpool's like scribbled over a actual Black Lotus.
Yeah.
And but it's, you know, it says Blacker Lotus and Deadpool wrote like, Deadpool was here, whatever the fuck on it. But it is, you know, it has the Blacker Lotus rules text from whatever unset that was from. So it's
Fractarid, it like, etc.
Yeah, like it is like essentially a what is so the two I've seen, you have Harmless Offering, which is a useful, fun card with fun treatment. And the other card is essentially absolutely useless outside of like even in a box, like nobody's going to use it because the entire thing with Blacker Lotus is that you actually tear it up.
Yeah, I mean,
player card. So like nobody who paid for it is going to do that.
I'm so curious as to what sort of like rule zero or house rules approach people are going to have for this.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so if I were to and also like it's an uncard, so like that's is it black bordered in this version or is it silver bordered?
I think it's full art. Cause the edges are like cut off, so I don't even think there's a border.
Okay, so that gets around. Okay, so that is arguably commander legal. That's a very funny way to get around the silver border question in and of itself. I mean, like, okay, so thought experiment, if I were running that in especially like a chaotic e commander environment like Deadpool, or it could be a fun cube card. I personally would be interested in allowing for some sort of like way for it to be defaced. Especially in a cube, I think it would be fun to like, instead of tearing this apart, you autograph part of it. Like that counts as the like there's, it's spiritually devaluing the card. But yeah, like, and
I don't know, you could just like get like a bulk rare or bulk land or something and just tear it up instead is what I feel like you should probably do, and just exile that card from the game.
Sure, yeah, that's fine too. Yeah, but it's like, and I mean, so on the one hand, I think there is a very like, this is a fun, playful problem that like if someone came up with a, like we're talking about like a sort of like potential solution or workaround, I'd be very all for that, because I think you're not playing this outside of Commander or Cube.
Yeah,
basically. So, like, do something silly. I really support that. But also, like, that's...
Yeah, it's like such a, that of all the Magic cards, of all the fucking like secret Groots that people lost their goddamn minds over, and this is the first off, I think Jeff, great idea, but put like a fucking, put another Jeff card in there, do another card with, yeah, Jeff and Deadpool, like that, it's such a like fucking mystifying, because it feels like a, what should be a punch in the gut, where it's like, oh, did I get something? Did I pay for and receive something? One of six cards that is either going to be useful or probably not, honestly.
I mean, so the one thing that I will say re Blacker Lotus is it is expensive.
Is it really?
It's a $15 card.
Okay.
Like, I will.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, like, I'll give it that. Wow. That's there's a listing for the Deadpool one on TCG Player I'm looking at for, $200.
Get the fuck out of here.
It is a stupid card, and yeah, you're right. It is this fun full art situation that maybe doesn't have a silver border. Jesus. I will say the art's very cute on it.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. I kind of see where their head's at. Do you think Lotus is actually more expensive because people ripped up them?
Absolutely. I'm sure that's part of it. I'm sure it's also people paying for the opportunity to rip up a Magic card is part of it. Like, I mean, because there is something really interesting, I think, about, like, you know, those kinds of, like, interacting with a Magic card in ways that one would not normally, like, especially in the context of, like, uncards, I think is a really interesting and exciting, like, design space.
Yeah.
This card in particular's inclusion in this secret lair specifically feels not bad, but just weird.
I would kind of err. Yeah, I guess not bad, because if it is a $15 rare, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's indicative of the state, the very confused state of Secret Lairs.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And kind of, I guess, to end off on just the confused state of Magic, like, we got...
Yeah.
We've... I feel like every time we'd come on the pod, we'd talk as much good stuff as bad stuff, or bad stuff. I feel like we're not just shit talking. We're not just being overwhelmingly negative. We have good stuff to say about even like Karlov Manor and Aetherdrift, but at the same time, there's this level of, I feel like we're always apprehensive, and it's because of stuff kind of like this.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, no, because it's like, right, like, we both fucking love this game, and also this game makes it very difficult to love it sometimes.
Oh boy, does that. But anyway, like, Bugs.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue. Oh my god, I was going to do an outro, but then I cut you off. I'm so sorry.
No, you're so good. I was just kind of like, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Gucci. Bugs, where you're can saying. People find all of your work?
Yeah, you can find me over on Blue Sky at Bugs Matrix. That's Matrix with a Y. I'm also starting a new Commander Bracket 1 streaming show called The Exhibitionists. We're going to be launching our first episode live over on Twitch on April 24th, so about 2 weeks from the day of recording, a little less than that when you're going to hear this. I'll be promoting the hell out of it. I'm really, really excited for the guests we've got.
Oh my god. I have the perfect, I was having a conversation with a friend recently on like, what does a one bracket deck look like? And
yeah.
I've been working on mono black Sengir like family line that is Baron Sengir, Arini Sengir, like all of these cards that are,
yeah,
like Baron Sengir's like an 8 drop for like a 4/4 or some shit. So I will have a mono black dog shit homelands commander deck if you want to.
Oh please. Oh my god.
I on think my drive I'm gonna try and make all of them like pre-2001 old border black cards. That's kind of my goal.
That is exactly the kind of shit that I want on this show. I just had an idea on the way home for a it'd be a Progenitus deck, and the joke is always use protection. Every single creature in it has pro something, and then I'm running all of the circles of protection, and like...
Oh, yes! I love it.
Yeah.
No, that sounds fucking rad, so go check that out. Hell yeah.
Right? Yeah, but Jordan, where can they find you?
Y'all can find me on Dead Domain, at Twitter, on Blue Sky, on YouTube, on Instagram... where I'm always streaming and doing stuff. And also with our usual podcast producer, Rosa, I just started a new political podcast called What the Fuck Now, or WTF Now, which you can follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and all of that stuff.
Hell yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. Thank you all for listening, and pass the turn.